Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a former soldier has been found not guilty of 2 murders and 5 attempted murders on Bloody Sunday in Derry over 50 years ago. We'll have reaction from the Crown Court in Belfast. We'll also have reaction from Derry itself. There has been a slight increase in home completions in Donegal. The housing agency says it's in the process of contacting defective block homeowners who were impacted by a recent cyber incident. And Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher tells the Dáil he believes the Irish fishing sector was thrown under the bus in order to secure a Brexit deal. Mark's here with sport at around 5:15, and as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That's just after the sports news. But we begin this evening with the verdict in the Belfast Crown Court today. Former soldier, Soldier F, has been found not guilty of 2 murders and 5 attempted murders on Bloody Sunday in Derry over 50 years ago. Soldier F, who can't be named, has been on trial at Belfast Crown Court for the past number of weeks. Chelsea Keeley was there.
Delivering his judgment, Judge Patrick Lynch said evidence presented against the veteran fell well short of what was required for conviction. 13 people died on Bloody Sunday in Derry when members of the Army's Parachute Regiment opened fire on civil rights demonstrators in 1972.
The brother of Bloody Sunday victim William McKinney says the families and wounded and their supporters left Belfast Crown Court today with an incredible sense of pride in their achievements. Mickey McKinney said, unlike his victims, there's been no declaration of Soldier F's innocence. He added, the families don't lay the blame for today's decision with the trial judge.
The blame lies firmly with the British state, who failed to investigate the murders on Bloody Sunday properly. Most importantly, responsibility lies with the thugs of the 1st Battalion of the Parachute Regiment who opened fire and those who directed and protected them.
Meanwhile, Foyle MP Colm Eastwood says his thoughts are with the family of those affected today. He said Soldier F has been a protected species for more than 50 years, carrying on living a normal life despite the pain he caused. Well, Paul Young from the Northern Ireland Veterans Movement was shouted down as he tried to speak outside Belfast Crown Court this afternoon.
Soldiers across the United Kingdom will be happy with this, and I hope that there is no more soldiers brought to the courts here and evidence that there's actually no way of going through.
Well, speaking to Highland Radio News from Derry this afternoon, Foyle MLA Pádraig De Largey said the people of the city stand firmly behind the Bloody Sunday families. He said there is disappointment in Derry, but also a deep sense of pride.
The people of Derry are extremely disappointed, but we are extremely proud of the fact that the families have done this, have managed to get a British soldier in court, and actually to have some measure of accountability, even though it's not the verdict that anybody wanted. I think it is a testament to the fact, the tenacity of the families, to the determination of the families, and to their will to actually getting truth and justice for their loved ones.
From your point of view, what now?
We will take our lead very much from the family, but I mean, even from what the judge said today, there are clearly perjury cases to be answered by some of the other British soldiers on the day. But I think that in terms of next steps, firstly, it's taking account of what has already happened, of the fact that the families have campaigned for 53 years for truth and justice. They've had that denied to them at every opportunity. They've had to fight for everything they've got. But what is extremely clear is that those who are culpable are the British soldiers who murdered civilians on the streets of Derry that day, but they are also the British Army generals who ordered their executions, and also the successive British governments who covered up their murders for so many years. The next steps will be determined by the families. We will stand absolutely with them and behind them in whatever they decide to do next.
And that was MLA Pádraig De Largey. There's been a slight increase in home completions in Donegal. Latest CSO figures show between January and September this year, 449 new homes were completed in the county, a 1% increase on the same period last year. In the third quarter, 176 homes were completed. A total of 24,235 new homes were completed nationally up to the end of September. Housing Minister James Brown says he's using every lever at his disposal to get the numbers up.
I've pulled so many of those levers. Clear interventions to ensure that we get more homes delivered in our local communities. And I think we are now starting to see that reflected in the numbers.
The housing agency says it's in the process of contacting defective block homeowners who were impacted by a recent cyber incident. It's warned the breach involves Jennings O'Donovan, one of the engineering firms preparing reports for the grant scheme. Donna Marie Doherty has more.
The housing agency says it has been notified of a cyber incident involving one of the engineering consultant companies that works with the agency involving the DCB grant scheme. Chartered Engineers Jennings O'Donovan experienced a cyber incident affecting its IT systems. The housing agency systems were not involved, and the incident appears to be isolated to one engineering company. While no applicant's financial or banking information has been impacted, the information that may have been impacted includes applicants' names, contact details, addresses, dwelling technical reports, including dwelling photos, and local authority DCB application reference numbers. The housing agency has taken a number of steps since being notified, including contacting homeowners impacted.
Well, a group of defective concrete researchers from Ulster University travelled to Leinster House last evening to present Oireachtas members with a summary of their research. They went there at the invitation of Donegal TD Charles Ward. Professor Paul Dunlop, Professor Eileen Doherty and Professor Karen Kirby met with around 40 TDs and senators, briefing them on the changing science behind what's causing blocks to deteriorate and also on the social and mental health impacts of the crisis on people in Donegal and further afield. Professor Paul Dunlop says he'd have liked to have seen more government representatives attend the briefing, but he says it was a beneficial exercise.
One thing that can happen with research is that you can actually show robust scientific evidence as to why things do need to change. So that's what we tried to do from our end, from a group of Ulster University researchers.
Donegal Deputy Paddy Cope Gallagher has told the Dáil he believes the Irish fishing sector was thrown under the bus in order to secure a Brexit deal, and that is why the industry is now facing potential Armageddon. He said the reason punitive quota cuts are being suggested now is a result of overfishing by Norway, Iceland and the Faroes, and that's a direct result of the change made during Brexit negotiations. Deputy Gallagher urged Fisheries Minister Timmy Dooley to launch a diplomatic offensive, encouraging other member states to oppose the proposed quota cuts.
I'm suggesting to you, Minister, that you call in the ambassadors in all of these countries, not just in the coastal states, but in all of the others in Eastern Europe, because they will have an input. And I know from experience over the years, they will go along with the Commission's recommendations. But if you or the ambassadors meet their counterparts and meet those responsible and highlight for them the implications for us and request them not to vote in favour.
Well, time had been set aside in Leinster House for statements on fisheries at the request of Sinn Féin's marine spokesperson, Donegal TD Padraig McLaughlin. He echoed Deputy Gallagher's sentiments, saying the government must fight for the future of the fishing sector.
I would defer to my colleague, Deputy Paddy Cope Gallagher, Minister, huge experience, and I agree with everything he said in terms of we need to talk to everybody here. Right? We need to tell our story. They need to understand, our fellow member states, the injustice that the Irish people have suffered under the common fisheries policy. The fact that those rogue players, and I'm sorry to say it, right, in this case they have been rogue players in overfishing mackerel. Norway, Iceland, Faroe Islands, Russian Federation, whatever you want to, because there's huge sanctions in place against them anyway, but also the UK. They need to accept that this is utterly wrong. They need to stop the overfishing, and there needs to be a real approach from Europe in terms of justice for our people. We're a small country, you know, and we deserve that support right now. So, Minister, I trust that you will engage strongly in that.
A woman in her 80s was robbed in her own home in Castledurg after what detectives have described as a distraction-style burglary. It's reported a man called at a house in the Derg View area before 10 and 11 yesterday morning, claiming to be from the housing executive. He said he needed to carry out checks at the property and was allowed entry by the resident. When the man left, she noticed a sum of money had been taken from her purse. The Higher Education Minister says investment will continue in education in Donegal. Minister James Lawless was in the county today to turn the sod at the ATU's new campus building in Letterkenny, which will include a new library and ICT centre. He told the 9 till noon show there's a lot of work ongoing to increase the provision of higher education in the county.
I'm here to launch the new turn the sod on the new ATU Letterkenny campus building, new library, IT and education building, 25 million investment here in Letterkenny. And that's alongside the new vet college, which I'll be opening. I'll be back again in a few weeks' time to relaunch that. And there's been a lot of investment in between the ETB, which serves 25,000 learners here in Donegal, between the ATU campus continuing to expand, and indeed things like the regional sports hub that your local TD and Minister Charlie McConnellogue secured 9 million funding for just recently, which is also on the cusp of ATU campus there. So, look, a lot going on in the educational space. New apprenticeships coming on stream here as well. We have the electrical, metal fabrication and refrigeration, significant investment there, 27 million funding for those in Donegal. And that's the first of its kind outside Dublin or Cork. So I suppose in the round, a lot of investment in the educational field in Donegal.
Thousands of new voters will be casting their ballots in tomorrow's presidential election, as up to 60,000 young people have turned 18 since the last general election. This year's contest sees Heather Humphreys and Catherine Connolly vying to become the next president. The name of Jim Gavin will also be on the ballot paper, even though he has sought to withdraw from the contest. The Electoral Commission is reminding everyone that their voice counts at the ballot box. Its chief executive is Art O'Leary.
Even in the wind and the rain, we're trying to put a bit of fire in people's bellies to encourage them to get out and vote tomorrow, because their vote is their voice, you know, and if they don't vote, then they allow somebody else to speak for them. And you would never allow that to happen in any other part of your life. Since the general election in November, 60,000 young people turned 18. And I was delighted when the figures were released last week to discover that we have 61,000 new voters who'll be voting for the first time. And I'm hoping that many of those were the young people who turned 18.
Meanwhile, the close of polls on Aranmore Island has been brought forward as a result of the weather forecast. Polls were to open from 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. tomorrow. They'll now close at 7 p.m. Voting on all other islands is from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the mainland. Polls open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m. The Northern Ireland Executive has been urged to invest more in the community and voluntary sector. Foyle MLA Ciara Ferguson told the Assembly this week that such funding enables people make decisions in their own communities and shape their own future. The loss of community funding, she said, does not just lead to the loss of services, but threatens the fabric that holds local communities together. Ms Ferguson said her experience in the sector in the Northwest is the past 16 years have seen funding for the community sector reduced, and that she believes must be reversed.
As someone from the Northwest who has worked in the community and voluntary sector for over 20 plus years, I know only too well the invaluable power of sustainable investment in community development and community infrastructure, in strengthening both community relations, in helping to tackle inequality and disadvantage, in empowering and building the capacity of local people who themselves become active participants in shaping their own future.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 60 minutes past five. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Shelburne manager Joey O'Brien wants his team to play with confidence in tonight's Conference League meeting with Shkendia in North Macedonia. The reigning League of Ireland champions go into the game in good form, having won their last three matches in a row. And O'Brien believes his side can cause the host some trouble.
Away from home, always difficult in European football, and the challenges you have to face, sometimes you have to suck it up, especially on a massive pitch like this. Tactically, you know, you have to be on your money and stay alert all the time, but here it's about us going out and imposing ourselves on the game and taking it to them as well.
Shamrock Rovers boss Stephen Bradley says their experience in Europe will be vital as they look to turn around their recent poor form tonight. Back-to-back losses have delayed the Hoops being crowned SSE Air Tricity League Premier Division champions, and they were beaten 4-1 by Sparta Prague in their opening game of the Conference League. Bradley's side welcomes Celje of Slovenia to Telus Stadium tonight, and the Rovers manager is confident his players will deliver.
What we've done as a group throughout Europe and domestically over the last few years, you get respect doing that, and the players have earned the respect, and how opposition manages our teams come and play or play against us is not my concern. It's obviously you have to know what they're doing, but in terms of how they view us, it's not my concern. And like I said, I believe we're a better team than the team that played last August.
Two new managers will get their respective reigns underway in the Europa League this evening. Sean Dyche takes charge of Nottingham Forest for the first time as his side welcome Porto to the City Ground. And Danny Rowe will lead Rangers into their clash with Norwegian side Brann, having been appointed this week. Elsewhere, Celtic take on Sturm Graz at Parkhead, while Aston Villa face Go Ahead Eagles. And there's one game locally this evening. Kilmacrenan play Islay in the Ulster Junior Cup. That match gets underway under the lights at Diamond Park in Ballyar at 8 o'clock. Republic of Ireland manager Carla Ward insists they won't just park the bus in the upcoming Nations League promotion playoff with Belgium. The winners of the two-legged tie will advance to League A for the next edition of the competition. Speaking ahead of the first game at Tallaght Stadium tomorrow, captain Katie McCabe admitted they were too defensive in their Euros playoff loss to Wales last year.
Maybe we took a more cautious approach in that first leg, which didn't really benefit us. I don't know whether that was mentality, it was how we were feeling. There's lots of variables. And of course, the team is very different to what it was last year now.
Lionel Messi has signed a new contract with Inter Miami. The 38-year-old Argentinian joined in 2023 and is this season's top scorer with 29 goals. In snooker, Mark Allen is closing in on a place in the quarterfinals of snooker's Northern Ireland Open. He is 3-1 up against Cork's Aaron Hill, with the first to four advancing to the next round. Jordan Brown faces Sean Murphy this evening. In American football, Jude McAtamney has been re-signed by the New York Giants to their practice squad 2 days after being cut. The Derry native was waived by the Giants earlier this week after he missed two kicks at goal in Sunday's defeat to the Broncos. Finally, coming up on the Score programme tonight, we'll be talking to Kilmacrenan native Reece Irwin, who recently clinched the 2025 British Supersport Championship title. Finn Harps chairperson Ian Harkin gives his thoughts on the three young Harps players to have been selected to represent Ireland at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup. Bunkrana Hearts manager Gary Duffy will talk about his recent appointment as manager of the Ulster Interpro squad. Plus, we'll be hearing from Derry City boss Tiernan Lynch ahead of their clash with Shamrock Rovers this weekend. And I'll be back with all of that on the Score between 7 and 8 this evening. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's a Thursday evening, it's 20 past 5. That means it's time to go over to Chris Ashmore for farming news and views.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. In the recent budget, the Minister of Agriculture, Martin Hayden, gave further details on the newly announced TB Action Plan, which will receive an additional €85 million in funding, resulting in a total budget of more than €157 million. It's a lot of money, but there is no doubt that action is required. Over 6,000 farms were affected by bovine TB outbreaks last year, and more than 41,000 cattle were detected with the disease, a 44% jump on 2023, and a further rise is expected this year. Well, at the October meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, one of the guest speakers was Tomás Burke, the IFA's Livestock Senior Policy Executive. And this was one of the issues that he highlighted during a very informative presentation. I'm pleased to say that he's joined me on this week's programme to discuss matters in more detail and what it all means for Donegal farmers. Tomás, firstly, after some years of progress on the TB front, we've gone backwards again. Millions have been pumped into various initiatives over a number of decades. So where are we at just right now?
Thanks very much, Chris, for the opportunity to discuss the current TB situation. I suppose very disappointingly, from a farmer's perspective, we're back now to levels of TB that we probably hadn't previously seen since the late 1990s, when we had over 40,000 TB reactors. By 2013, 2014, because of huge efforts by farmers and a very effective wildlife control program, TB reactor numbers were reduced down to about 14,000, which were the lowest we had probably ever recorded. Since then, or shortly after then, though, a fundamental shift in the Department of Agriculture's policy in the TB eradication programme, which commenced in around 2018-2019, in relation to the wildlife control programme, where the density reduction aspect was replaced by a vaccination programme. Since then, we have seen a significant increase in the numbers of TB reactors, particularly over the last 2 or 3 years, as this wildlife population was allowed to increase and effectively go uncontrolled and really not vaccinated to a high enough level for the vaccine to have a meaningful impact. And as a result, huge losses now have been incurred on farms, with over 40,000 productive animals being removed. The programme this year is going to cost about $130 million to implement, with probably 70-odd million of that being taken up in compensation and support for farmers who are having their businesses completely disrupted and their ability to farm taken away from them because of TB outbreaks. And given the increased value of animals and the higher returns from stock, farmers losing very heavily now, despite those support payments, which fall significantly short of the actual losses. We have a huge problem with the ceilings in the compensation schemes, where the maximum a farmer can get for any animal other than a pedigree female or a stock bull is €3,000. That type of money is not buying the better quality animals, let alone the very top-end animals. And a figure that hasn't been thrown out there very often until we commissioned a report or an analysis of the true costs of the TB programme on farmers. And when we look at what actually TB costs farmers annually, the report found that it's in excess of $150 million a year when we put in our private paid TB testing, which is over $30 million. Our labour facilitation of 9 million tests on 7 million animals is up at almost $60 million, and a number of other losses and impacts on farms bring it to $150 million, which is significantly above what the National Exchequer is putting into the TB programme, and a fact that certainly has to be recognised by government, by the Minister and by the Department as we move forward now with the new programme, which we do recognise has proposals to significantly enhance the wildlife control aspect of it and start to remove more of these TB-infected badgers to protect our animals.
Yeah, and just on the wildlife side of things, we know there's been issues with badgers and deer for many years, and people are probably not just aware of the figures. I know, I think the most recent figures for Donegal, there were 2,700 wild deer were culled in 2023. In Wicklow, more than 25,000. So it's a significant number, and it is a big, big issue.
Huge issue, Chris, for broader reasons than just TB, to be fair, but certainly an issue that must be tackled. And it has taken many years for, indeed, government to put in place infrastructure to deal with this, what we would call at this stage, because of the species that's most prevalent in a lot of areas, an invasive species. And whilst it's fine for people to talk about the importance of deer, that's all well and good, as long as you're not the farmer who's having their grass grazed, their fences damaged, their trees destroyed, and their animals infected with disease. But at least in the new TB plan, the minister now has started to recognise that. And in addition to significant enhancements in how they approach dealing with badger, which are the primary source of the disease from a wildlife perspective, but also a commitment to fund or to continue to fund and support the National Deer Strategy Group, which has actually been set up with the mandate to reduce deer numbers nationally, Chris, and that is significant. Previous iterations of this were set up with the objective of talking about the deer problem, but this actual strategy group has been set up with the mandate from government to reduce deer numbers nationally and to put the infrastructure in place to do that. And that has commenced with the hiring of 10 full-time personnel to oversee 15 deer management units dispersed throughout the country. And their key role is to put in place now that structure that will reduce deer numbers. And it just shows the enormity of the job at hand, Chris, when we talk about 2,700 being taken out of Donegal and 25,000 being taken out of Wicklow, and yet the population continues to increase, because generally accepted figures are that the deer population increases by about 30% annually. So if we're to make any meaningful impact in any reasonable sort of a short time frame, then there is going to have to be more than 30% removed to try try and get a handle on the numbers.
And finally, Tomas, the livestock trade, as we see Christmas approaching, prices continuing to stay high. What way is that going to influence the market? In the supermarket, there are signs that when prices go up, there can be a shift in the type of cuts that people might go for.
That's right, Chris. I suppose in the first aspect of it, the supply to cattle are extremely tight, not only here, but more importantly in our key markets, the UK and the EU, as we head into that high volume period of the year, the Christmas trade. And to further supplement the possibility of the capacity for our prices to remain strong, UK prices steadied and have increased over the last 5 to 6 weeks and are now a margin above ours. And most importantly, the EU price, which had been weak enough throughout the year, has showed strong increases over the last 6 to 8 weeks. And that is now creating a differential again in the prime export benchmark price. So plenty of capacity there for the price rises here and the lead into Christmas, given the supply situation and the price situation. But as you rightly mentioned, Chris, what we have seen throughout the year, though, as the supermarkets has pushed through some of the beef price increases, there has been a change in purchasing behaviour. Obviously, cheaper cuts are coming more to the fore, but also maybe a little bit of a reduction in people's purchasing in volumes. Their spend is remaining the same or broadly similar, but a little bit of a pushback on the volume side. And that's what brings real concern onto the table in relation to trade deals. Those done in the UK can't be undone, but certainly the Mercosur trade deal is looming over us, and that it could have huge potential negative impacts on the value of our EU market. We know the prices in those Mercosur countries are probably at best on average around 50% of ours, reflecting the lower standards of production in those countries.
And that was Tomas Burke, the IFA's Livestock Senior Policy Executive. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, from me, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Before we go, let's recap on our main story this evening. The former paratrooper known as Soldier F has been found not guilty at Belfast Crown Court of committing 2 murders and 5 attempted murders on Bloody Sunday in Derry. The charges relate to the shootings in 1972 in which 13 people were shot dead during a civil rights demonstration. Soldier F's anonymity is protected. Well, Kieran Shields is a solicitor representing many of the families. He was asked what message should now go to the Irish and British governments on legacy.
Any prosecution in relation to the deaths between 1970 and 1974 involving the British Army is going to run into the same difficulty that this case has. And we've seen today how much reliance a court can put on in respect of those statements.
Before we go, a look at the weather forecast. Showers becoming more widespread and frequent this evening. Moderate to fresh west to northwest winds. Tonight, showers will continue, some heavy with hail possible. Lowest overnight temperatures 4 to 7 degrees Celsius. Moderate to fresh southwest winds, strong around the coast. Showers possibly heavy with hail in the morning. Limited sunny spells. Cloud increasing tomorrow afternoon in top temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. Moderate to fresh southwest winds becoming northerly by tomorrow afternoon. We're back with news headlines at 6. Check all today's news on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 23rd of October. The death has taken place of Tina Coyle, née Doherty, Auchnagaddy, Remelton, formerly of Carrigart. Tina's remains will repose at her home at Auchnagaddy, Remelton from 6 o'clock this evening. Family time only, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Alison Thompson, Nailarkin, 46 Carlina Park, Loch Nagin, Letterkenny. Alison is reposing at her late residence, which is private, please, at her request. Requiem Mass at 12:30 on Saturday afternoon in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, which can be viewed live on the parish YouTube channel. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Cancer Care West, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Colm Carey, Slavery Buncrana. Colm's remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral on Saturday morning at 9:45, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv. And the death has occurred of Eilish McGrain, née Finnegan, Balnacarrick Ballantra, reposing at her home until 10 o'clock tonight. Removal at 10:15 tomorrow morning to St Bridget's Church, Ballantra, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Shiel Hospital Patients Comfort Fund. Donations to Jackie Caron Funeral Directors, Ballantra, or any immediate family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.